Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for the ministering of your saints. Lord, we are so grateful. Lord, vessels to the praise and the glory of your grace. Oh God, what you are pouring out because of your Son. Lord, what you're bringing forth because of your Son. Oh God, what you're causing us to be because of your Son. Oh, thank you. How we glory in nothing but the Lamb of God. And Lord, today may we behold more. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh Lord, to lift him up, that we glory more and more in him. We thank you, Father, for the beautiful one, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You turn to Job chapter 42. The Word of God speaks of the need of a vision. From the very beginning, how Jesus, he encouraged those to see. But see, in order for us to even begin to see, as he told them, as he tells us, you have to realize that you're blind. See, without realizing that you're blind, you'll never see. And how thankful we are, that's the beginning even of our vision. The Word of God continues on and how it encourages us to see more. Matter of fact, by the Holy Ghost, we can have enlightened eyes of understanding. And that's the only way that we can have enlightened eyes of understanding is through the Holy Ghost. We need to see more. And the Lord said, ask and you'll receive. Knock, it'll be opened. I thank the Lord that he's a God that is so ready to give. He said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. What will you ask him for today? Amen. Lord, enlighten more my eyes to see. Job 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, and this is after Job had been taken through all of those horrific events, but the most precious trials of his life. God always standing faithful. God always with a purpose beyond comprehension. God always with the intent to only give us more. But God also knowing it must be his way and never ours. So Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Do you know that? Do you know God can do everything? Oh, hallelujah. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered, and I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. And here it is. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. You go on over to verse 12 there. It says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Yes, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Brothers and sisters, was it worth it for Job's eyes to see and receive the more in the latter end? No doubt. No doubt. And how about for us? Was that testimony of the faithfulness of God worth it? for us to receive that glory, and truly from the body of Christ, from that cloud of witness, sweet old Job. Oh, you've heard a lot, honeys. But now mine eyes see. Oh, they see. Praise the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, this is to us, isn't it? And truly, do we really understand that all our trials, all our hardships, all our heartaches, are they to us as Job? Are they worth the vision that God has given us to see Paul's gospel? Oh, yes. No doubt. Amen. Can we all testify? Because this is my testimony. The worst things done to me brought forth the greatest fruit. Amen. The hardest things God has taken me through have been my greatest gains for eternity. Amen. And I would have never known the depths of his mercy and grace and love without every single one of them. Without every single one of them. Every event that I will have to tell you that I was in the moment of, in the midst of, get me out of here. God's so faithful. I know a big smile. Oh, son, I've brought you in here. Oh, the way of escape's already been made. You're going to have to call those things which be not as though they were. See me. Oh, you've heard me. See me. See me. Come on, can't you see it? Even that old king, those three Hebrew children went in there to that furnace. They ratcheted up there all them times, hotter than ever been. Those fellas, those mighty men, even opening it, were dead. And he put them in there. And he looked and peered in there. He said, man, I thought we put in three. But I see four. I see one that is like the Son of God. Where'd they have to go to see that? Where did God have to put them? Oh, they'd heard. Oh, but now I got something to show you, honey. Oh, yes. Sounding like your life? Sounding like you now? God and his word never changes. In his faithfulness, he afflicts us. All he wants to do is put more passion in your heart. Truly to say, Lord, I want to see more. I want to see more. I want to have that heart that goes out there and says, oh, there's more land to walk through. And he'll walk you through the same bit of land. And what I mean is the word of God. That's the land. That's the promise. That's the glory. He'll walk you through the same verse. But he'll walk you through it in a different way, in a different meaning, in a different comprehension, in another glory to glory, walking, looking at him, growing even into his very image. Amen. Now, as I said, I would have never known him if I missed these things, if I missed even one. Just like Job, we divinely need the dire events in our lives to save us. We need the dire events in our lives to help us from wasting our lives. God is so divine. And he is. But how he encourages us over and over. When he puts something in your heart. And then he gives you sufficient witness for it. Over and over. It was so sweet yesterday. A brother had been calling me from out of town. I said, well, the Lord encouraged my heart. Call him. I called him. You talk about sufficient witness. All he could witness to me was he was so thankful for the depression that has really been a part of his whole life. Because he said, without it, I wouldn't be in the need of Jesus that I have. Without it, I would never have come to the knowledge of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Without it, I wouldn't be here today studying and having you, not interrupt me, brother, but even given me a little bit more anointing to go on. I was thinking about Brother Todd. You know, our sweet brother out there in Lyman Prison. Doing life. Oh, yes. I remember the first time I went out to see him. What a precious time we had. How he grabbed me. One of the very first things he testified to me. He said, do you know how many times that I drove past Living Waters Tabernacle? Hundreds of times, thousands of times, and I never stopped in. But then something happened. God had an appointment. Now man would say that that event that happened to Todd was the thing that ruined his life, that destroyed his life. But God had an appointment that it was the thing that was going to save his life. Oh yes. He's spending life in prison, as they say right now. Only God knows. But God divinely took him to a place, and matter of fact, the only place for him, that he would receive not just the word of God, but yea, the deep things of God. So deep, I would even say that he is camping out with us crazies, believing that there is nothing but a ruling and reigning in the midst of a throne that's waiting for us to share with Jesus. And that's all because of the power of the grace of God. Amen. Let me ask you this. When did Jonah really get it? When did God really get through to Jonah? Well, right after he attempted suicide and was in the belly of that fish. Amen. At the very beginning of this precious portion of Job, it said he was a man that feared God. It was a man that feared God. God even said to Satan, have you seen my beautiful servant Job? Huh? But see, even in that, if you really think of that, have you seen my servant Job? Yeah, beautiful as a servant. But God was going to give him a vision for reigning. Oh, yes. See, God brought Job a double portion. Do you know that? Everything that God took away, God doubled. And God will always do that for your lives. You know that. You may think that he's taking away, but he always takes away to give more. He always takes something away because it would hinder you from getting more. That's the truth. He likes to leave the thorns in. Oh, yes, he does. And I know every single one of us have been praying about certain thorns all of our life. But just as he told Paul, he said, oh, Paul, if I take out that thorn, honey, you would be exalted. And not me. You want the power of Christ resting on your life, or do you want Stephen's life or Dwayne's life or Linda's life? I don't want that. Matter of fact, I'm thankful to God I don't see that. I want the power of Christ resting on my life. And I know that comes one way. That's going to be through my weakness and his strength. That's going to come through my infirmities. And really receive that. Oftentimes things that, oh, as this brother I spoke to, you think he didn't go to God many times over, oh Lord, deliver me from this depression. Oh honey, if I removed you from that, you'd be magnified. Are we grown up yet? Are you really grown up yet? Are you just going to sit there and say, oh, this is God that... And let me tell you something. He has delivered you from everything. He really has. But the beautiful thing is that you got to realize that he's got to deliver you from yourself. Or you're going to miss God's best. And receive that. Just like with Paul. Lord, I want you to take this from me. It's affecting me. It's causing me to think that there's something that's between you and me, that I've got to get rid of this because it's going to make me more godly. Son, I'm going to leave it there. Because it ain't you more godly. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't you want a heart and the heart of Jesus? Or are you going to settle for a heart of condemnation? And a heart that's going to sit there in man's judgment? Don't you want to sit there in a loving heart, poised and not wondering who's going to hell in a room, but who might receive Jesus here?
Hallelujah!
Not sitting in this meeting and wondering, oh my, that brother so-and-so or sister this and that, they're in just such a bad way. They've got to get rid of this. You've got to stay in that. Because that's what the law says. Man, I love you. Because I know you love. And I know that God has brought us to see. And to see it more perfectly. And to see it truly in the eyes of Christ. That ye love one another. That love be in you. As I've loved the Father, as the Father's loved me. That you love one another. Joseph. I'll tell you what, he had dreams. He had wonderful times with the Lord. But it took all that betrayal, didn't it? It took all the imprisonment for God to take him to a place and a time and a moment that he would be ruling and reigning over it all. Job was a man that feared the Lord. But it took the loss of everything. And I mean even the death of his children to come to the place of faith. I've heard of you. But now mine eyes see you. Brothers and sisters, it's not about looking godly. It's not about a life that looks like God is blessing it at every turn. Amen. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. It is about what is in here. It's about what this truth and this faith that is in here. And then in that, what's captivating my thoughts? Really, brothers and sisters, is it really about being glory for him? Really? I ask you that. Is our life really about being ready and only being ready? Is it if by any means I would be ready for that first trumpet sound? Amen. Amen. Is it being caught up in the air with the bridegroom? Well, I'm going to tell you something. then there is no other way but the way of suffering together with Christ. Yes. Think about the infirmities that he bore. Everything tried, tested, that all of us collectively have gone through. Everything. Are you listening? Everything. The things that you don't want, he was tested with it. The things that give you an uprising, he was tested with it. Every bit of it. Now we know without sin, absolutely, but he gets it. He does know what temptation is. Matter of fact, there was a divine appointment that the Holy Ghost led him out into that desert for those 40 days to be tempted. He knows it. He knows it. Oh my. Praise be to God. This is the suffering together with him. You don't want to be out there, and you never suffer alone, but you can suffer alone in mind, or you can suffer together with him. Do you really see that? Do you really take that as Paul said? Because Paul was suffering with that thorn. He was suffering in a way, Lord, I want this out because I want to go on more with you. He had a desire in it that man would say is goodly. But God wanted the godly best. Amen. This is divine. Now, brothers and sisters, here we go. If this is the life that describes you, then you're on it. You're on it for a mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All these things that God has used, and I'm talking about your life, all the things that God has used, where you find your life, what you find yourself in, can you truly stop worrying about it? Can you stop worrying about it? I was expressing to a sister, encourage one another, live your life in Christ. Don't let this outside environment dictate to you how you're supposed to live or going to live. In fear or doubt, self-condemnation, whatever it would be. Live your life of Christ in you. How powerful is Christ in you? It's all powerful. How forgiven is Christ in you completely? How loved is Christ in you? Beyond. Live abundantly. Live abundantly. That's the life that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's easy to do that when you're feeling good. It's easy to do that when things are going good. But how about living joy unspeakable and full of glory when things don't look good and you don't feel good and it looks like a disaster around me? Them are the champions of faith. Those aren't the Christians that just walk in feeling. Those are the ones that walk looking at the cross, the finished work. What he has done, what he has finished, what he has given. Walk in it. Walk in the power of his might. Oh, hallelujah. Vessels of mercy. Your vessels of mercy. That's the power. Yes. Yes. Because he bore it all. He took it all. And all in all lives right in here. Now, start rejoicing. That's what God's doing right now. See, all this is just a call to awaken what's in you. And this just doesn't happen on a Sunday morning. This word's always. But feed on it. Thank Him for it. Sunday's not believe God day and Monday doubt God day. You believe God every day. He's the same. But see, the devil, all he wants to do is get you, well, I feel different. Well, God's the same. He's consistent, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, consistent. They said He never fails. He never fails. He never fails. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Even when you believe not, He abides faithful. Amen. Now, rejoice. Because, praise the Lord, He's ordered all these things in your life. Everything that has occurred in your life has brought you to this state of faith today. I'm serious. I'm telling you, that brother yesterday giving me that, just that little quip. Oh, hon, I'm thanking the Lord for my depression. Because I know without it, I wouldn't be looking to Him. I mean, come on. What kind of encouragement do we need? Amen. Now, I said it the other day, and here it is. Why do we choose to remain so miserable? Why? Why? When God is blessing you with the furtherance of the gospel in you, you wouldn't be here today. You would not be here today if God didn't bless you with this. And that's the truth. Oh, but I'm going to be miserable how God got me here this morning. Or what God's doing in my home with the furtherance of the gospel. Or the changes that are taking place in me, my spouse, my kids. All of this stuff for eternal gain. But I want to be upset because how God got it done. Oh, I'm just bent how God got me here to hear the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message. Oh, God was unfair to me. Because He didn't let me be born in this kind of household. Or looking a certain way. Or having a certain amount. Stop it! Amen. Really, stop it! Oh my goodness. We should not even be able to contain the praise in this place. Every single vessel in here. With what He is bringing forth in His vessels for Him. That's all the enemy wants to do. He just wants you to get looking here. He just wants you to be looking here. Anything to get you to not be looking in here. Now, let me say this. Quit thinking your life needs to be some type of romantic novel. If your bubble has been popped, praise the Lord. And you know why? Because you won't find that in here. Oh no. What you find in here are real lives. Disasters. Dysfunction. Horrible things. But over all of it you find, but God. And but God, but God, but God, but God, but God, but God, but God. Who is rich in what? Mercy. Mercy. And in His great love, wherewith we are loved. Are loved. It is not temporary. It is not contingent. You are loved. And you are so loved. And all he wants you to do is to thank him for that mercy. Oh, Jesus. Now, those disasters right in here. But God. And that is how he does it every time. That is the only theme, if you will, of glorified together with him every time. See, you won't find that without all the cross outs and the X outs and the mistakes. Because one thing's going to be magnified with the Lord, and that's his mercy. Yes, yes. And I'm so thankful you are hearing it over and over again, because I'm hearing it over and over again. And what I'm hearing of him, you're going to hear. And this is the only place you hear of him is in his word. That's it. It's his mercy. It's got to be grace alone that's going to rise you up. It's going to be grace alone that propels you down that race course. See, your goodness never will. See, God loves you so much that even when you want to lean on your goodness just for a moment, it ain't going to be there. It's not. He's going to bring something, and he's going to bring it quick, that brings you to your knees, that has you bowing your head just like that old fella did. Oh, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. He never going to let you go in that self-righteousness, because that self-righteousness will keep you from God's very best, because it's the sewer. Now, concluding this up, do we get it? Who are the ones that are given the most? The ones that are forgiven the most. Who's the first? The last. Who are the ones, praise God, I love this, that get the glory? The ones that are humbled. Humbled. And I'm going to tell you something, the only thing, and I know it, that's why you go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Obtain mercy. Only mercy can humble you. Only mercy. Mercy humbles you. And God's mercy gives you glorified humility. Because his mercy, which is really the only mercy there is, takes you so far beyond of what you deserved. To glorify together with him mercy. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, here it is. It's not trying to make yourself humble, but really understanding and knowing it's that mercy that has given you everything. It's his mercy that has freely given you everything undeserved, and that has placed you by faith into believing this marvelous message. Is it worth it? I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And I can say this by the grace of God. I know you see it. I know you see it. Praise his name. Let's pray. Jesus. Jesus.
Beloved one, I love you.
Jesus, we come to you and are so thankful with thanksgiving, Lord, overflowing. Lord, we thank you again for your love and grace. Lord, the beauty of your heart and Lord, your passion for us and for us to know your grace and for us to know truly your tender ways. Lord, for us to know only your strength. Lord, how you bring us to that place that is beyond us. Lord, here's your jewels. We're your jewels. We're everything to you. And you're the God that does not forsake us. You are the God that does not withhold anything good from our lives. Lord, we do know this, but Lord, increase our faith to believe it. By believing, we grow. By growing, we give you glory. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you for your marvelous love to us. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.